Glory be to God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm all plugged in. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about the recorder. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit. I'm plugged in. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says you have an anointing with it and you know all things. All things you need to know by the agency of the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus to heal the sick, set the captives free. So there is a Spirit within and there is a Spirit upon. Say the Spirit within. And say the Spirit upon. There's two anointings in Scripture. There's the believer's anointing. 1 John 2:20 and 27 says, you have an anointing within to know everything God needs you to know. You don't have to find a prophet today in the New Testament for God to speak to you. God will speak right to your human spirit. He'll speak right into you. Pastor, are you saying God talks to you? I told you before, I wouldn't serve a God who didn't talk to me any more than I wouldn't marry a woman who wouldn't talk to me. Amen? What good is relationship without communication? God does speak today. There's 8 primary ways that He speaks to believers. Amen? And if you'd like to know what they are, there's a CD on the table called... What a good title. 8 Ways God Guides. Grab one for yourself. Amen? Hallelujah. On the house. Amen? You just take that. If you would like to know the 8 Way God Guides, you've not heard that before, you grab that CD and take it home with you. Compliments of He who guides in 8 different ways in the New Testament church today. Amen? You have an anointing on the inside of you to know and to do the will of God. But then there is an anointing that comes upon to preach the gospel, such as it has come upon me this morning. Amen? I have an anointing within also. 1 John 2, 20 and 27. But then there is an anointing that comes upon Luke 4, 18 to preach and to teach came upon Betty this morning. To stand up here and to exhort us, to light the spark and to get the thing to burst into flames. It worked, didn't it? It was upon Barbara when she stood up, the Spirit of God. The Lord came upon her to teach and preach the precious, holy, written Word of God. And it's even upon me now in Jesus' name. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Absolutely nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, squeaky voice, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood. Thank, oh, such grace of God to spill His blood for you and for me. Hallelujah. God made a way where there was no way. Amen. I was standing at the kitchen sink. Was it the day before yesterday? And the Holy Spirit of God spoke into my servant, into my spirit. Amen. He said, tell them until they understand my nature, they'll never understand my word. I'm just minding my own business. I might have been washing the dishes. Probably, yeah, I must have been. Just probably doesn't wash dishes. You know, the Bible says, it might be in the book of Nahum, you have to look it up. It says, even as a man washes a dish and sets it aside to dry. So there's your scripture, man. You ought to be doing the dishes. Amen? Hallelujah. I always try to beat Barbara to the dishes. She shouldn't have to clean up after me. No, I mean, if you want to, that's fine. Amen? But I like to just clean my own dish. I lick it clean and put it in the... I wash in soap, rinse them with... Maurice believes that. Hallelujah. The Lord said to me, tell them, as I was just standing right there at the sink. It just came up in my spirit. The still small voice, clear as a bell on a winter day. Tell them until they understand my nature, they'll never understand my word. If you don't know that God is love, you're going to constantly misinterpret the word. Amen? If you don't know that the Bible says, he who loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. If you don't know that God is love, you're going to be interpreting the Word of God through punitive eyeglasses. If you think He's the God of punishment, If you think he's evil, if you think he's responsible for all the evil that's in the earth today, if those are the glasses you're wearing, religious eyeglasses, you're going to misinterpret the word of God. You're never going to understand what he's saying in there. But when we know that God is love, when we got the love glasses on, we've told people so many times, every time you see God's name in the Bible, you should replace it with the word love. Amen? For love so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him might not perish, but might have life everlasting. God is love. Amen? Religion magnifies God's power. And that's good. We believe in the power of God. Jesus said, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. But the Bible doesn't magnify God's power. It's full of examples of his power, but it magnifies his love. We've got to understand. Well, Pastor, what about all those people in the Old Testament? God just killed them all and wiped them all out. How's that love? I'll tell you how it's love. When populations of people came into existence in the earth, in days of old, in the Old Testament, you'd see God wipe out entire populations of people because he kept giving them opportunity to repent. Repent. Repent and turn your heart to Jehovah God. And when they wouldn't, God would just make a decision. Okay, all they're doing is populating hell. They're not paying any attention to me. I'd rather not see them continue to populate so 3.5 million of them end up in hell. I think I'm just going to wipe out the 70,000. That's love. That's what love would do. Now, that doesn't make sense for some people's thinking, but the God of love would rather see 70,000 rebels go into hell than 3.5 million. That's love. Amen. It's the God of love that protected Israel from their enemies. It's his love for Israel. He wouldn't allow those people to wipe them out. It's his love for you that allows you to defend yourself against your enemies and not allow rebels to just run rampant in the earth. We believe God believes in warfare. There's two kinds of warfare. This is free, by the way. We haven't even gotten to the notes yet. There's two kinds of warfare in the Bible. There's aggressive warfare, and God condemns it. You get the little track over there, Bob. We'll get one for you. It's called, what is it called, Bob? Hallelujah. Almighty God. Almighty God, what he says about warfare. He forbids aggressive warfare. He forbids his people to go after other people, wipe them out, and take their stuff. But he also tells us, if anybody comes against you aggressively, you go back at him defensively. He forbids aggressive warfare, but he condones and anoints defensive warfare. We have a right to protect ourselves from evildoers and evil people. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody needed that. Amen? You find that throughout Scripture. It's the God of love who will not allow other people to come into this Christian nation and wipe us out and take our stuff. Amen? We have a right to defend ourselves. Listen, God's not a hypocrite. Didn't Baba just tell us this morning he's the Lord of hosts? That's his battle name. God is a God of warfare, but he's a God of defensive warfare. God tells us in the Bible, negotiate, negotiate, he told Israel, negotiate, negotiate. He tells us today, negotiate, negotiate, negotiate. When you get to the place where you know they won't listen, bomb them till the rubble jumps. The devil's trying to take over this world. Amen? God gives us the right to defend ourselves. If you'd like that little tract that we wrote, Almighty God, what he thinks about warfare, you just request it from Sister Barbara. She'll get it for you. Amen? Until they understand my nature, they'll never understand my word. Amen? Interpret the word of God through the eyes of love, not through the eyes of, you know, my goodness. That's why he tells us to call, we're supposed to call him Father, not killer. Spike. Amen? He's a good God. He loves us. Amen? He's a good God. He doesn't even get mad at us. God doesn't even get angry with his children. Well, Pastor, the Bible says that God is angry at the wicked every day. Yeah, listen to that. He's angry at the wicked every day, not his family. The wicked, the only wicked people in the earth are the people who reject Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You were wicked, I was wicked before we were born again. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, Betty brought the right scripture today. I just keep preaching out of Ephesians 2. We were dead in our sins before he came and rescued us. We were all wicked. And he's wicked at the angry every day because they reject his means of escape from a devil's hell. And that makes God angry. Amen? Because he doesn't like to see people go to hell. But they go when they go as a conscious act of their own free will. God has never sent anybody to hell. He never will. People send themselves. Psalm number 9. Amen? He's not an angry God. Listen, I get angry, but I'm not an angry man. Don't you get angry? Barbara, you get angry? Hallelujah. And don't go near her when she is. Anger is a God-given emotion. Jesus got angry at the scribes and the Pharisees when he healed on the Sabbath, remember? And they got ticked off at him, and he got ticked right off back at them because they cared more about religion than they did about a suffering human being. It made them angry. The Apostle Paul said, be angry, but sin not. You don't have to pray, oh God, don't let me be angry. Pray, God, help me to control my anger and to use it properly. Anger shows people our boundaries. Don't ask God to recreate you and take anger out of you. That'd take an act of recreation. Amen? You're created in his image and in his likeness. Sin makes him angry. People going to hell makes him angry. Religion makes him angry. But he's not angry all the time. You get angry, but you're not an angry person. Barbara gets angry. Perfect example. But do we know her as an angry person? No. Everybody in this room gets angry, but we don't know you as an angry person. God's not angry. God is love. And he said, tell them, I wrote it down, until they understand my nature, they'll never understand my word. It's got to be interpreted through the eyes of love. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
Now say it like you mean it. God loves me. Jesus' last prayer in the garden. Where's the verse? 23. Jesus said, hallelujah, my precious wife. He said, Father, show them that you love them as much as you love me. That's a whopper. God loves you, Helen, as much as he loves Jesus. I'd say you bet your boots, but we don't gamble anymore since we got saved, do we? Amen. I never saw Helen wear boots anyway. Say, God loves me.
God loves me.
As much
as he
loves my Jesus.
Love my Jesus.
Isn't that comforting? Hallelujah. So, hallelujah. Oh, glory be to God. Where are we going this morning? You know, we've been talking about miracles around here. Last time we were together, we talked about miracles and faithfulness. Remember? That packed a punch, didn't it? That was strong. We just dealt straight out with it. Amen? I don't have a caretaker mentality as a pastor. I'm not trying to not rock the boat. I'm not trying to rock the boat. I don't have to. The Word rocks the boat. Everything in the Bible that God's written is for our admonition to show us where we're doing things wrong so we can do things right. Amen? And we got some things right. Was it last Sunday I ministered on? Miracles and faithfulness. And that's on television. This and abbreviated this afternoon at 4 o'clock, an abbreviated version. That was good, you know. We're not going to see miracles if we're not faithful. Amen? Hallelujah. Did you hear what I said? We're not going to see miracles if we're not faithful. Hebrews 10:25, the Bible says to forsake not the assembling of yourselves together with one another, especially as you see the day approaching. God commands us to be in church. It's not optional. Amen? Christianity is not a democracy. It's a what? It's a theocracy. Hallelujah. Tag team preaching. Amen? We don't get to vote. We're to be in church. People say to me, Pastor, how come we don't see miracles in the earth? Well, I say, well, where do you go to church? Well, I'm not going anywhere right now. There's your answer. There's your answer. You're in disobedience. You don't qualify. Faithfulness and obedience always set the stage for the supernatural throughout Scripture. Well, I don't believe in miracles for today. And I bet you don't go to church somewhere either. I just don't believe in miracles. I bet you don't pay tithes either. Amen? That's why you're not seeing any miracles. You're not experiencing them because you're in defiance of the God of love. God said when we don't pay our tithes and offerings, we rob the whole nation from national revival. You cause another people to go to hell when you don't pay your tithes. Whew, talk about telling it straight. Amen? You go read that in Malachi, right around those verses Barbara shared with us this morning, Malachi chapter 3, Malachi 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12. You find that right in there. Amen? We saw in the life of Daniel last week that because of Daniel's faithfulness to his God, God was able to rescue him from that den of lions. And there had to be hundreds of lions in that lion's den because all 120 captains, princes, and counselors who deceived King Darius into throwing Daniel into the lion's den, they got thrown in there. All it was 122 of them, as a matter of fact. And their wives and their children, they were thrown into that den and they were consumed immediately. You go read that in Daniel chapter 6. Ain't no two lions in the world going to eat 250 people immediately. There were hundreds of lions in there, and God sent his angel to protect Daniel. Why? Because of his what?
Faithfulness
and obedience. Amen. So that's what we talked about last week. Amen. Just a little nutshell. Amen. It was a strong word. Amen. And I told you need to be here every time those doors are open, and you know that. But I neglected to say, there are times. Now, I'm a shepherd, but I'm not a German shepherd. Amen? Hallelujah. Nothing against pastors from Germany. Amen? Sometimes you can't be here. You can't. You can't. You can't. But most of the time, people aren't. They can. Amen? So, let me just say, there are times that you can't be here. You just can't do it. But not most of the time. Not 90% of the time, not 80, not 70, not 60. We need to be in church. Amen? Hallelujah. Get off it, Pastor. I know you're under conviction. Listen, today we're going to talk about miracles and derailment. What do you do if you believe God's plan for your life has been derailed? What do? Do you still have the right to believe God for miracles? Do you still have the right to expect God to work in your life? What do if you believe that God's plan for your life has been derailed? Amen? Sometimes other people can derail God's plan for our lives. People just step in. They use the devil indirectly. And they step in and they interfere with God's plan for our life. And it just seems like it's all over. Take the life of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Joseph in his coat of many colors. God revealed his plan to Joseph. Joseph was young. He was youthful. He was inexperienced. He made the big mistake of sharing his dreams with his brothers. He didn't know that he shouldn't have done that. They didn't believe in God like Joseph did. And they became jealous. They became envious. They sold him into slavery. All for sharing his dream. He ended up in prison for 18 years for doing nothing but obeying God and being faithful. And it seemed like the plan of God was over for his life. But God had a plan in that too. And if it seems like God's plan for your life has been derailed, maybe it seems like you're too old now, Barbara, to accomplish the will of God for your life. You're never too old to accomplish God's will. Never! Never say never. Solomon said, as long as there's breath in your lungs, there is still hope for you to accomplish God's plan for your life and to walk in the supernatural and to walk in the miraculous. Maybe you've been called to a ministry that you weren't able to fulfill. You still here? Are you still here? Because if you're still in this earth, Solomon said, there's more hope for a living dog than there is for a dead lion. You alive today? You still breathing? Amen? You still sucking air? Then there's hope for you. Amen? There was hope for Joseph. Hey, he just stayed faithful during those 18 years. Killing rats and stirring spaghetti with chains on his wrists and chains on his ankles for 18 years. Boy, didn't do anything wrong. And then all of a sudden, Pharaoh's magicians, his sorcerers couldn't interpret his dreams. He called for Joseph. Up Joseph went, the Bible says, immediately. He shaved, he showered, a shave and a haircut, and within minutes, his life was radically revolutionized, and he became the vice president of the world power of its day. Within minutes. An overnight success. Yes, it was the longest night of his life, but he was a success regardless. Amen? It's not over. It's not over. No matter how old you might be. Amen? You're just getting started. Amen? Sometimes other people, I'm making the point, can come along and derail the plan of God for your life, but it's still plan A. That was plan A for Joseph. Not plan B, not plan C. God knew that was going to happen to Joseph. He gave him the dreams anyway, called him anyway. And Joseph saved the entire nation of Israel from genocide. And what do you think he must be doing today in heaven? How close you think he's walking with Jesus today in heaven? Because he stayed patient, he stayed faithful, he stayed obedient, even in bondage. Even when somebody else came along, and it looked like they completely disrupted God's plan for his life. Thanks for the dreams, God! Joseph didn't take that attitude. Amen? I have to admit, I have a time or two myself. Amen? Had to repent. Amen? Thanks for sending us to Cape Cod, God. And you know what God said? No, he didn't even say that. He said nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know what that means? Keep preaching. Keep killing rats and stirring spaghetti. God will get the job done. Amen? Hallelujah. God, and sometimes Satan, not only indirectly through other people, will move to disrupt God's plan for you. I'm going to just say it again. It doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter. All things are possible if only you believe. Whatever type of ministry or service in this earth you feel you're called to, if you think it's too late, it's too late, it's too late, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of the devil. Satan come along indirectly, try to disrupt the plan of God for your life. Just like when the disciples were crossing the Sea of Galilee, he caused that big storm to raise up. I don't care what the insurance companies say. Jesus said Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Paul said Satan is the god of this world and the prince of the power of the air. Satan caused an earthquake under the Sea of Galilee, disrupted that boat, tried to drown all of the disciples and Jesus himself. They just woke him up and they said, Jesus, Jesus, don't you care that we perish? There's hardly a time I read that and I don't think, how in the world could they say to the Redeemer who came here to spill his blood, don't you care that we're perishing? Of course he cares. That's why he's here. Anyway, he just get up and he rebuked the wind and the storm. The storm ceased. And he said, where's your faith? You could have done that. Didn't we say this morning, maybe it was during prayer, I don't know, maybe it was while I was preaching after Betty, James 4:7, James said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. Sometimes our own sins, sometimes our own rebellion, sometimes our own stubbornness can seem to derail the plan of God and cut us off from the miracle power of God. But that's what I want to kind of talk to you about this morning. Amen. Is when our own mistakes, our own miscalculations, our own sin, whatever the reason might be, maybe somebody you married kept you from the plan of God. I want to ask you the question this morning. Are you still breathing, baby? Everybody, let me hear. Okay, everybody in here? No hopelessness in here. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's not too late to accomplish God's plan for your life. Doesn't matter how old you are. Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how bad you messed up. It's not too late. It's not too late. Amen. You can experience the miraculous. Amen. Somebody said to me one time, Pastor, why if God knew I was going to... Well, they said screw up. So bad... Why did he call me anyway? And you know what I told him? I said, I don't know, but when you find out, tell me, we'll both know. But I'm sure it's rooted in mercy. If you trace it back somewhere, it's rooted in love and it's rooted in mercy. Amen? I want to look at some people in the Bible here this morning who made some horrible mistakes. Now, I'm not talking God hate, as we're going to look at here. I'm going to just try to run through them quickly here, not too quickly. We don't want to be disrespectful to the Spirit of God. Some Bible kingpins here who started out on God's list of losers. Are you following me this morning? Everybody okay? Take another breath. Let me know there's still hope. Oh, praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Psalm 37. Why don't you go to Genesis chapter 16? We'll start over there. I'll read to you Psalm 37 real quick. Verse 23 and 24. The steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Listen to this, David wrote. He said, though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, but the Lord will uphold him or her with his hand. Though we stumble, David said, we will not be cast headlong. It's not over. Not over till it's over. Amen? Let's go over here. Let's see. Where will we go? Everybody used in Scripture. Everybody ever used of God in Scripture, with the exception of the perfect man Jesus, encountered sin's derailment of the plan of God for their lives. Everyone without exception experienced derailment in God's plan for their life. Everyone. Amen? Abraham. God told you, go to Genesis 16. Didn't God tell Abraham? He said, Abraham, go out and look at the stars of the sky. As many stars as you can see there and more, that will be your offspring. I'm going to cause more children to come forth from your dead loins and your wife's dead womb than the number of stars you could possibly count in the sky. And he said, not only that, but from your loins will come the Savior of the world. That's what God told him. And look at what Abraham and Sarah did here in Genesis chapter 16, verse 2. And Sarai, that name hadn't been changed yet, said unto Abram, behold now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing. See, I don't have any kids and it's God's fault. In spite of what he told us. It ain't happening and it's God's fault. I got a plan. I'm glad my wife's not like Sarai. I pray, go into my maid, my handmaid. It may be. God doesn't build on maybe. God tells you something, he'll do it. It may be that I may obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarai. Now hold on a second. Paul said in Romans 4:12, Abraham's the father of faith and we're supposed to imitate his faith. Well, don't imitate his mistakes. We ought to imitate his faith. But we are not to imitate his mistakes. That's why I tell people all the time, imitate me as I imitate Christ, but if you see me get off the word, don't follow me off the word. Pray me back. Amen? Hallelujah. And look at down at verse 4. He went into Hagar. What a dumb thing to do. This is Abraham, the father of our faith. And she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Things didn't happen quick enough. They tried to make it come to pass in the natural. Ended up derailed. Amen? What a blunder. You realize what Abraham's mistake has led to? 4,000 years of conflict in the Middle East today. Everything you're seeing on the news today concerning Israel and the Palestinians. And I don't like calling them Palestinians because they even stolen Israel's name. Israel is Palestine. But for teaching purposes, we'll refer to these Muslim people who are coming against it. They're Ishmaelites. There's been 4,000 years of conflict between the Jews and the Ishmaelites because Abraham took that goofy counsel from his wife. Now, he's a Bible kingpin. He's not a God-hater. You talk about messing up royally. Give you some hope, does it? Amen? You bunch of goofy goofballs? And all the mistakes that we make in life? Amen? Hallelujah. Abraham started out on God's list of losers. Amen? Derailed. Amen? And God knew he was going to do it, and he called him anyway. And God knew how you were going to blow it in ways. And he called you anyway. And the Bible says the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Jimmy Swaggart. People are thinking, uh-oh, where's he going? He has no choice but to keep preaching the gospel. No choice, no matter what. No one has the right to say he should not ever preach the gospel again. Well, who do you think you are? God? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. He made a big mistake. Jim Baker, big mistake. Big mistake. People rail on those men, what they've been through, what they did wrong. But they had the guts to get back up according to Romans 11:29 and keep on preaching the gospel and not say, well, I really blew it now. This is my opportunity to take all the money out of the nonprofit account and just get the hell out of ministry anyway. I was getting tired of it. Is that what they did? No, they just turned right around. They got God's forgiveness. They're dead to censure and dead to praise, and they just keep on preaching the gospel. Amen? The gifts and callings of God are without repentance. You've got a calling of God on your life. You get no choice but to obey it, Betty. No choice! And it's not too late. Maurice, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know you don't hide from me. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses one day saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew. Real quick, Exodus chapter 2. We're going to have to go through these a little quick, but you'll be blessed. Amen. You getting anything out of this already? Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Are you there in Exodus 2? One day Moses in Egypt, raised in Pharaoh's house. See, God birthed Moses into the earth to deliver Israel from 430 years of bondage. And look what he's about to do here, right here. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew in Exodus 2:12. He looked this way, and he looked that way. Are you there in Exodus 2:12? Hallelujah. He looked this way, and he looked that way. And when he saw there was no man looking, I'll paraphrase, he slew the Egyptian and hit him in the sand. When he should have looked up, he looked this way, and he looked that way, and nobody was looking, so he beat the guy to death and buried him in the sand. Oh my goodness. And now his face, for the next 40 years, his face is in the post office of every, on the wall, the post office of every post office in Egypt, Midian, amen? He's on the FBI's most wanted list. A murderer. Moses was a murderer! He took it upon himself to resolve a conflict between an Egyptian and a Hebrew, and he killed the man. God knew he was going to do that. Amen? 40 years in hiding because of murder. Go over to 2 Samuel. I want you to see how royally David messed up. Hallelujah. Where are you going with this, Pastor John? You'll see. This is good. Amen? 2 Samuel chapter 11. Look at what David did. Oh! David messed up royally. Amen? We all know the good things about David. Look at this. You know about David and Bathsheba. But let's look real quick how bad it was. How bad, what a soap opera it really was. And this is Jesus' genealogy. Jesus came from this goofed up family. Amen? Oh, verse 1. It came to pass, say amen if you're there. After the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, they'd go to battle in the fall and in the spring when it was cool and they could fight with all that equipment on. They'd hold off and resolve conflict by warfare in the cool weather. They'd say, I'll get you in September. The times when kings go forth to battle, David stayed behind. And he sent Joab. See, disobeying God right there. Sent Joab and his servant with him and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon and besieged Rabbath. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. He's a king. He should have been at war. He was backsliding. This is King David. Amen. Hallelujah. It came to pass in the evening tide, David arose from off his bed, walked upon the roof of the king's house. From the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David turned like Joseph and ran the other way. No, David sent and inquired after the babe. It's another man's wife. I'm saying this respectfully now. Amen. You know my heart. Amen. And said, is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messages and took her. He shouldn't have done that. You know where Uriah was? He was out fighting in the battle David was supposed to be in. He was one of David's best captains, best friends, and most trusted confidant. David messed up. He sent messages. He took her. She came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned to her house. And the woman conceived and sent and told David and said, I'm with child. So do you know what David did? He fell on his face and repented. Is that what it says? Look at what he did. He sent to Joab saying, send me Uriah the Hittite from the battlefield. So Joab went and got Uriah, sent him to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him, he's being a big phony here. I had you come to me because I want to see how the battle's going. You know what he's about to do? He's about to send him to sleep with his wife so that when the baby's conceived, when they can calculate back and believe the lie that Uriah did it, he was home from the battle. That's some trash right there. Isn't it? Hallelujah. When Uriah was come, David demanded, how's the battle going? How the people did? How the war prospered? David said to Uriah, go down to your house now and wash your feet. You know, you've been to battle. Wash your feet and go lay with your wife is what he's telling him to do. Uriah departed out of the king's house and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But look what Uriah did. David didn't count on it. He wouldn't go home. He slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and he wouldn't go down to his own house. David hadn't considered that. That's what happens when you get into sin, and you think you're gonna conspire to get your way out of it. There's always something that comes up that you don't count on. Amen? It's better to just repent. Amen? David didn't count that Uriah would not go home, but he would sleep at David's door. And when they told David, saying, Uriah went not down into his house, David said to Uriah, you're back from your journey. Why didn't you go down into your own house? And Uriah, look at the faithfulness he's showing to David and what David's doing to him. He said, David, the ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents. The soldiers are still at battle. My lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into my house to eat and drink and lie with my wife as thou livest and as thy soul liveth? I will not do this thing. To make a long story short, that little trick didn't work at David's. He tried to get him go lie with his wife so it would look like Uriah conceived that child with her. And you know what David did next? To make a long story short, he sent a letter to Joab telling him, put Uriah in the heat of the battle and make sure he gets killed. And you know who the messenger was he sent that note through? Uriah. He put that note for Joab to put Uriah in the heat of the battle and make sure he dies. In Uriah's hand, Uriah delivered his own death warrant to Joab. What kind of a man is that? Is that a man that's after God's own heart? That's some scheming scum right there. Isn't it? And David ended up being one of God's Bible kingpins. Amen. I just want you to see how bad he messed up. Amen. So you won't feel so bad. Amen? Hallelujah. Listen, it wouldn't be right to forget Jonah. Amen? Let's go over there to Jonah chapter 1. Real quick, God said to Jonah, go preach to the people you've hated all your life, Jonah, the Ninevites. Jonah said, find someone else, God. I'm out of here. And he got called Carnival Cruise Lines and he was gone. Amen? He refused to do it. Amen? Jonah 1:3. You know, Jonah's the type of Jesus, if I may say this, before you even read that verse 3, you know where Jonah is, don't you? It's over there by Micah. It's 6 or 7 books backwards from Matthew, or Malachi, wherever you want to start from. 6 or 7 books backwards from Malachi. I'm going to say this, okay? Jonah was a type of Jesus. Didn't Jesus say to the Pharisees, didn't he say, even as Jonas was in the whale of the fish for 3 days and 3 nights, so the Son of Man will also be in the belly of the earth. Did Jesus die before he went into hell? Did Jesus die? We know Jesus died, right? And Jesus said, even as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the fish, it says whale, but it's actually fish, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the bowels of the earth. Jonah's a type of Christ. You know Jonah was dead in that whale's belly? He said right there in Jonah Jonah said it himself. He said in Jonah 2:6, he said, you brought my soul up from corruption. You look at the word corruption, it's grave and hell. Jonah was dead in the whale's belly, or he's not the type of Christ that Jesus said he was. If Jonah didn't die, Jesus didn't die. If Jesus died, Jonah died. He was the perfect type of Christ. Amen? And he went down to the place of corruption for 3 days. And God rose him from the dead right out of that whale's belly. You go read that sometime in Jonah chapter 2. Anyway, we're here in Jonah chapter 1. God said, go preach to the Ninevites. Jonah said, no way, God. In verse 3, he rose up and fled to Tarshish. You look at here, this will show you right here too. From the presence of the Lord, and he went down. Say, he went down. Just like Jesus went down. He went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare thereof, and say, he went down. See, he went down, just like Jesus went down into it, to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. That's where Jesus went to, didn't he? Oh my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He went from the presence of the Lord to pay the penalty for our sin. Jonah's a perfect type of Jesus. He was dead in the fish's belly. But here he is running from God. Amen. Well, God sent a great storm. You can't outrun God. You can run to the end of the highway. You can get on the last ship going to sea. And out in the middle of the sea, you can climb the mast on that ship to get away from God. And the Holy Ghost will just climb that mast behind you and say, what are you doing here? Didn't I tell you to go there? Amen? You can't outrun God. You can't outrun the hounds of heaven. God's got something for you to do. You're either going to do it or you're going to answer to it. I say just repent and do it if you've missed it, like Jonah missed it. Amen? The Lord sent a great storm. The mariners threw Jonah overboard. Giant fish swallowed him. There it is. Derailment in the plan of God. Amen? Jonah got to thinking, not only in the fish's belly, but in the bowels of hell. Read it in Jonah chapter 2 and look up some of those key words. Amen? Jonah got to thinking, you know, those Ninevites aren't so bad. You know, compared to the flames of hell. Compared to fish guts and stomach bile, my body up there in the belly of the fish, maybe I will obey God after all. I'll check it out. Maybe it's not that bad. And you know that fish spit him right up. He cried out to God with a voice of thanksgiving, and he repented for running from God. But he started out running from God. Amen. And look down there, Jonah chapter 3. Hallelujah. You know, it's really interesting when you read the story of Jonah, and I'm trying to not move this through this too quickly. He got on the ship going to Tarshish, and the fish that God appointed to swallow him spit him up where? Nineveh. That fish swallowed him and turned a 180-degree U-turn and started chugging its way back by the Spirit of God right to Nineveh. All the time he's in that fish is carrying him back to Nineveh because God was determined. He's going to do my will. And that fish bit him up on the shore of Nineveh. Did you ever notice that before? Well, hallelujah. Now you know. Amen. And if you've missed God, plan for your life, all you have to do is repent, and God will see to it that you get spit up right in the center of His will for your life. Only you won't be covered with puke and bile and all that other garbage. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at right here. God's a God of the second chances. Jonah 3:1, are you there? The word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, now, as he's sitting on the shore, rise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Well, he did. And 120,000 people were saved. You know, he must have looked awesome coming into that city. His skin all tanned from the stomach bile. He must have smelled awesome, looked awesome, but he must have sounded awesome by the Spirit of God, because 120,000 people in that city repented and gave their lives to God. That's powerful. Amen? The whole city repented. And you know what Jonah did? He got mad. He got mad. He got them all saved, but he got mad because he was prejudiced and he was more of a patriot than he was a man of God. He cared more about his nation and his nation's hatred for Nineveh than he did about God's will in human beings. You're not like that. Listen, I'm a patriot too, don't get me wrong. Amen? But it's God first. country second. And I am a patriot. Amen. I told you earlier today, I believe in defensive warfare. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe, what do they call the Hammond organ? The B-3. The B-3, I love B-3 Hammond organs, but I also like B-1 and B-2 bombers. I'm glad we got more of them than anybody in the world, and that God gave us the technology for them, and nobody else. Hallelujah. Then, of course, there's always Peter. Amen. Peter's my main man. Most hot-headed and dynamic of all the apostles. Crucifixion eased. Eve, he said, Jesus, if you die, I will die with you. And Jesus said to Peter, Peter, before the cock crows 3 times tomorrow morning, you will have denied me 3 times. You know what Peter said? I don't think so. Correcting God in the flesh. I don't think so. Well, lo and behold, that's exactly what he did, didn't he? He denied him 3 times. Listen, Peter had a doctorate in derailment. He had a doctorate. He had a DD. Peter DD, Peter D dumb. Peter had, it wasn't honorary either. He earned it. He had an earned doctorate in derailment. Amen? Peter messed up royally. Betrayed the best friend he ever had in the world. God in the flesh. I'll die with you. If they take you, they'll have to take me. Denied him 3 times within 12 hours. Hallelujah. You ever done that? Amen. That steamroller came out of the fog and just rolled over that man, left him on the ground like a fruit roll-up. He's just laying there squished by what he had done. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, God knew that was going to happen to all those people that I just mentioned to you. And he called them anyway. And he knew what it was going to take, what you were going to have to go through, what I was going to have to go through, what we're going to have to go through individually and corporately to accomplish the plan of God for our individual lives and for this church. He knew everything we were going to go through. He knew the whole mess. All the blunders, all the bummers, all the mistakes. All the shortcomings, all the failures. And he called us anyway. Just like Abraham, just like Moses, just like David, just like Jonah, just like Peter. Amen? Talk about not putting people on a pedestal. Amen? Hallelujah. Well, listen, God can turn our mistakes around and glorify himself. Get over there to Micah chapter 7. It's right next door to Jonah. It's a good place for it to be, too. Amen? You getting anything out of this? This is where they started. Now we're going to see where they ended up. Amen? Look at right here. Hallelujah. God can turn your mistakes around and glorify himself. God will. He promises in the scripture that he will actually use our mistakes to bring glory to himself. That's what a good God he is. You talk about love, man. Amen? God took every mistake that every one of these people made, and he glorified himself through it, and he will continue to through eternity, as we're going to see. Amen? Particularly Abraham's mistake. Wait till you see what he's going to do with Abraham's mistake. And what he does for them, he'll do for you, because Peter said, God is no respecter of persons. Acts 10:34. Paul said in Romans 2:11, God is no respecter of persons. That means that he doesn't respect these folks any more than he respects you. What he did for them, he wants to do for you. Is it cool enough in here? Is it too cold? Is it comfortable? Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, look at Micah chapter 7, verse 8, real quick. Rejoice not against me, O my enemies. When I fall, are you there? I shall arise. Say, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. See, he's not a punitive God. He never stops yearning to help us. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, which he will bring me forth to the light, and I shall behold his righteousness. Amen? You just tell the devil, don't start rejoicing yet, Bucky boy. It ain't over. I'm just getting started. Amen? Everybody say, Bucky boy. Don't rejoice yet, Bucky boy. It ain't over till it's over. Amen? I don't care how old you are, amen. You know you know they just found a lady in China buried in a drainage tunnel for 9 days, and she's 103 years old or 109. whole lot older than any of you. It wasn't over for her. Amen. Well, praise be to God. I'm telling you what, you people in your 70s and your 80s, if you're thinking of checking out of here, you better think again.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You got some mileage left in you. If you just make up your mind, I'm going on with God. I'm going on with God. It ain't over till it's over. Look right here in Isaiah chapter 60 real quick. Hallelujah. I want to see real quick here how Abraham's stupid mistake is going to bring glory to God forever. Forever throughout eternity. Now, I want to tell you something as you're turning over to Isaiah chapter 60. Make a note in your notebook or on the back of the bulletin, if you have a bulletin. All of the Old Testament sacrifices that the Levitical priesthood used to offer to God, they'd slay thousands of oxen, thousands of sheep, the blood offerings. They're going to be reinstated in heaven throughout all of eternity. Well, where is that in the Bible, Pastor? Well, it's in Ezekiel chapter 40 through 46. Thank you for asking. All the Old Testament offerings, those blood sacrifices, they were being offered on behalf of the Jesus who was to come to shed His blood for the sins of humanity. Ezekiel reveals, and Isaiah reveals, that once we get into eternity, they're going to start the blood offerings at the temple all over again. Not as a memorial to what Jesus was going to come and do, like in the Old Testament, but as a memorial to what He's already come and done. They're going to be memorial sacrifices. Do you see that? And if you want to know more, and if you really want to understand it, grab a Message Bible and read Ezekiel chapters 40 through Ezekiel chapter 46. And that thing will come alive to you. You'll see how blood offerings are going to be reinstated throughout all of eternity, on planet heaven, and right here on planet earth. And I want you to say, I said that for this reason. Look at right here in Isaiah. We're talking about Abraham's big goof up, amen? Going and having a baby, committing adultery with the help, Hagar, giving birth to Ishmael and the Ishmaelites, and causing all the conflict, the greatest conflict that human history's ever known, still occurring today, and will continue to occur until Jesus' second coming. Not the rapture. It'll continue after the rapture, through the tribulation period, until the second coming, at which point the Jews will recognize Christ. But until then, this conflict in the Middle East is going to remain. Nobody's going to broker a road map to peace. God's already brokered the Bible map to peace. And it will come at the second coming. And at that time, the system of offerings as a memorial to Jesus will be picked up again. And look what's going to happen. What are we talking about? We're talking about Abraham's mistake. So that you can see that God will use even your mistakes to bring glory to Himself. Somehow is only our good God can do. Isaiah chapter 60. Get to it, will you, Pastor? You know it takes me 3 times to get to a scripture. I give you fair warning 3 times. Here we go. Verse 6. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. This is talking about the millennial reign of Christ. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praises of the Lord, bringing offerings to the temple in the holy city in the future. All the flocks of Kedar, circle Kedar, some of you already have, you know this. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth, circle Nebaioth in your Bible, if you'd like, shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on my altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Would anyone like to know who Kedar and Nebaioth are? They're Abraham's illegitimate offspring. They're Ishmaelites. They came from Ishmael. Abraham's adultery. Abraham's mistake. Kedar and Nebaioth, these are Abraham's illegitimate offspring. And they're going to bring glory to God forever. God said that He's going to use their rams and their whatever else there. Well, both of them, flocks and rams. Specifically, going to use those rams and flocks of Kedar. Now I know it sounds like Old Testament history, but it's not. It's good. Kedar and Nebaioth. God's going to use their flocks and their rams to bring glory to Himself on the memorial altars throughout all of eternity. This is God, and this is a perfect example of God using a human blunder to glorify Himself throughout all of eternity. God can and will use your mistakes to bring glory to Himself if you'll just get up and repent if you've been off track, if you've given up on the call of God because some devil or some dumb human being told you it's too late, you're too old. You married the wrong person. You don't have enough money. Whatever. Just repent for all that garbage and let God do in your life what only God can do. And He will glorify Himself even through your mistakes throughout all of eternity. He's going to bring this mess in the Middle East. He's going to use it to eternally bring glory to Himself. Talk about positive thinking. Amen. Hallelujah. Look down here. The mariners... You want to go back to Jonah? Can you get over there? They threw Jonah overboard. What good came out of that? Oh, by the way, Sarah did conceive Isaac. In spite of the mess, the Messiah still came through Abraham's loins, just like God said He would. Hallelujah. Abraham didn't give up. You shouldn't give up. Did you mess up that bad? Amen? Hallelujah. If you did, I don't want to know about it. I just want you to know it ain't over till it's over. Amen? As long as there's breath in your lungs, hallelujah. The mariners over there to Jonah 1:16, they threw Jonah overboard. And you know what happened? They saw the sea immediately calm. They knew they had picked. They knew they had picked the right person. This is the cat that's causing all of this because when we threw him overboard, the storm supernaturally ceased. That's miraculous. We're talking about miracles and derailment. God can still perform miracles through you and on your behalf, even if you've been out of His will. Even if you've messed up so bad you think He won't take you back. You think you're better than God. You think you're smarter than God. You think you're wiser than God. Well, let it be known here today, you're not. Amen? God will use your mistakes to glorify Himself. Amen? So you lost some time. He'll cause you to catch up supernaturally, and He can cause things to compound to such a degree that He can get more out of you in the end than He did in the beginning. And it just keeps coming into my heart to say, age isn't a factor. Don't let it be a factor. Amen? So they threw him overboard. Look what they did. Jonah 1:16. The men feared the Lord. Look how the Lord used Jonah running. They feared the Lord when they threw him overboard and the sea stopped supernaturally. Exceedingly, they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and they made vows. You know what that means? They made vows. They gave their lives to God. They made vows. They said, no more holy girl tattoos for these mariners. No more naked calendars. No more cigars. No more whiskey. From now on, it's God. They saw God manifest supernaturally in their midst. Jonah's mistake led to their repentance, and those mariners are in heaven today. You'll get to meet them, Betty, when you get to meet Paul. Amen? Not to mention the fact that Nineveh did get saved. God just used Jonah's backslidden condition, his running the opposite direction, to get all those guys on that boat saved. Amen? How about David and Bathsheba? Hallelujah. Yeah, the baby died. They paid for their sin. With that illegitimate child, the baby died, they suffered horribly in it. But then God allowed Bathsheba to conceive again. And who did she conceive this time? Solomon, the righteous seed of David, through whom you can easily and readily and effortlessly trace his genealogy right to Jesus Christ. God brought Jesus out of that adulterous mess. That man who conspired to deceive and then to murder one of his best friends. God brought Jesus through the womb of the woman he was committing adultery with. Is that not good news? Does that not encourage you? Anywhere that you may have backslidden? Oh, hallelujah. All through a relationship that started out with immorality, deception, betrayal, murder, stinking soap opera. They were young and they were restless. But still God said, they're all my children. This is the days of their lives and I will be their guiding light. Oh, wow. Amen? Tell me that's not good preaching. Hallelujah. I'll even watch the stinking things. And I encourage you not to. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If when a man or a woman is derailed by sin, they can never be used of God again, why did David write in Psalm 51? I'll just read it to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Why did David write that? He was talking about, in Psalm 51, what he did to Uriah. And he said, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Why did he write that? You know why? Because God hadn't. If he was gonna, he would have by then. And he didn't. And he won't take the Holy Spirit from you. Amen? Doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done, how long you've been dragging your feet, who the devil may have sent to derail God's plan. Maybe he came to you directly to derail God's plan for a supernatural, miraculous ministry through you on this earth. It doesn't make any difference. It's never too late. Solomon said there's more hope for a living dog, and you ain't no dog. You are the apex of all of God's creation, higher than the angels. It's God, Jesus, Holy Spirit, man, angels, and demons in that order. You are the apex of God's creation. And Solomon said there's more hope for a living dog than there is for a dead lion. As long as you're still sucking air, there's hope for you. Do you believe that? Hallelujah. I'm telling you what. Don't start downshifting. Upshift. Amen? Put in overdrive, you downshifters. Spiritually speaking. Amen? Tank up! Don't pull off to the side and give up. Amen? Hallelujah. Where are we? Oh, my goodness. Moses couldn't even bury somebody in the sand at the beach. You ever bury somebody in the sand at the beach? How easy it is? Moses couldn't even do it. Apparently that big old Egyptian nose, he left it sticking up out of the sand and he got busted. Amen? But God turned that around and used Moses to bury the most powerful military force of his day in the ocean. He said, stretch forth your rod. You do something, Moses. What's in your hand? He said, a rod. He said, stretch it forth and part the sea. Moses did. And God closed it right over the Egyptians. And after that, God used Moses to personally perform, through the working of miracles, 42 miracles Moses performed in the Bible. Not God. Moses performed them. That's called the working of miracles. It's when God suspends the laws of nature and allows the human being to use his power to perform the miracle. Now, God performed 16 miracles in the presence of Moses. Those are miracles of God. But God used Moses to personally perform, through the working of miracles, 42 supernatural signs and wonders. A murderer! Any murderers in the room today? Amen? Even if you are a murderer. Pastor Bud Cooper, a pastor I've preached for in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, got saved in prison. He got busted. He was a Hell's Angel. And a gang of them killed the guy, murdered him, beat him to death. And Bud got busted for it. And he went into a prison for life in Tennessee, and he escaped. He's in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma. Look him up. Pastor Bud Cooper, I know him personally. I preached for him. He liked my preaching, too. Why wouldn't he? That's not a joke. He got saved. I said he got saved in prison. He didn't get saved in prison. He escaped from prison. He got saved after he escaped. And he realized, you know, I'm an honorable man now. And an honorable man, a Christian, would turn himself in. He went back to the prison and turned himself in to the federal penitentiary in Tennessee. And you know what they told him? We have no record of you ever being here. He said, I was here, my attorney's name, yada, yada, yada. My court, they told him, you go back, give us information where you are, you go back to what you were doing, and if we find any information on you, we'll come get you. We have no information. God pulled his file. Pastor in the church in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, when I preached for him last, a number of years ago now, I believe he had been there 12 years. He said, they never came after me. Never heard a word. He said, I don't believe you're going to. Amen? Hallelujah. Only God can do something like that. But God can do something like that. He knew the man was sincere. Hallelujah. Well, praise be to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Moses. Hallelujah. Listen, God's revealing himself to you this morning. And he's telling you, my gifts and my callings are without repentance. Stop trying to figure stuff out with your head. The Spirit of God is saying, Stop trying to reason things out. I don't live in the reason realm. Stop trying to figure things out with your flesh. I don't live in the physical world. I'm a spirit. Let me speak to you through your spirit. The Holy Spirit of God's talking to you this morning. Say, let me tell you. Stop telling me. Let me tell you what I have for you to do. Amen? He'll show you what he has for you to do. Look at, go to Mark chapter 16. What good came out of the steamroller that derailed Peter? Anything? Hallelujah. Have we checked out everybody? The mariners, Jonah, whew, they all got saved. Amen. No more tatties. No more whiskey. They repented. That's a miracle. So, amen. God used Jonah's mistake. How about Peter? We looked at Abraham. Did we look at the good that came out of Abraham? Of course we did. We looked at the good that came out of David's mistake. We looked at Jonah here. Hallelujah. Oh. We're going to look at Peter here real quick. You in Mark chapter 16? Peter cried out to God, realizing what he had done. He wept bitterly and cried out for mercy. 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. An angel appeared to the two Marys who were at the tomb. And look at what they said here in Mark chapter 16. Look up here for a minute. Say, Pastor, you're doing a fine job. Hallelujah. Mark chapter 16. Look what the angel said to the two Marys. He said unto them, be not affrighted. Don't be afraid. Ooh, you can be afraid. I'm telling you. I've had no less than 8 visitations. Look up here if you would. 8 visitations of angels in my life. Did you hear me? 8 visitations of angels. Most recently, 2. Barbara was with me at Dowsers Beach in Austerville, Massachusetts. On March the 13th and March the 15th. Is that correct? Angels still appear to human beings today. There's been times when I've had an angelic visitation, it spooked me. Woo! It'll spook you sometimes to see an angel. Other times, there's just supernatural peace. They were afraid. They said, ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. Behold, the place where they laid him. Look, he's gone. But go your way. Tell his disciples, in who? Peter. A special word for Peter. Tell his disciples and Peter, Jesus told that angel, you make sure to tell those girls that I said to tell Peter that it ain't over till I say it's over. Amen? That he goeth before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he said unto you. He pulled Peter right out of that slump. And that's what it was intended to do. Amen. 40 days later, Peter preached twice at on the day of Pentecost. He preached 2 messages, and he led 8,000 people to Jesus through 2 sermons. Amen. Peter became so anointed of God that you could walk through his shadow and receive supernatural healing. This is a guy who swore, I don't know him. I never saw him before in my life. Jesus? What kind of a name is that? I don't know him. And now you got people walking through his shadow and receiving supernatural healings and demonic deliverance. Amen. And he also wrote the authoritative Petrine epistles. Amen. Showing how God matures believers through suffering and persecution. He became a tremendous man of God. But he started out on God's list of losers. Amen? You get anything out of this today? Listen, you can still perfect God's plan in your life and see the supernatural and the miraculous if only you believe. You know why? Because Joseph said to his brothers, when his brothers realized who he was, when they were down in Egypt trying to get some food, amen? It's okay to close your Bibles up if you like, amen? But just hold steady for 1 minute. I'm going to pray for all of you today, if I may, amen? When his brothers realized he was the vice president of Egypt, they said, oh, my Lord, it's Joseph. And they wanted to die. They thought he was going to take their heads off. And he said, don't you be afraid ever. What Satan meant for harm, God used for good. That my family and all of Israel would be spared. And no matter who's knocked you off course for God's plan, supernatural, miraculous plan, we're talking about miracles and derailment in this place today. Whether Satan knocked you off indirectly through other human beings discouraged you. Maybe he came to you directly and knocked you out of God's perfect plan for your life. God is saying to you today, what Satan meant for harm, I will use for good if only you will believe. You have to expect him to do it. Amen? There's the Godward side and there's a manward side to the miraculous. We do the believing, he does the confirming. The manward side is believe and expect. The Godward side is to perform supernaturally and miraculously. I am here to tell you this morning that Jesus' work at Calvary far outweighs Satan's work in the garden. Amen. So many people glorify what Satan did in the garden. Well, what about what Jesus did at Calvary? Amen. He kicked the stuffing right out of the devil. And he said, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. Now go you and preach to the nations. He delegated his authority. That's why James said, resist the devil and he will flee. Resist him in your thinking. Your life's not over. Don't start winding it down. Don't start packing it up just yet. Don't start giving your stuff away yet. It's not over. Anybody in this room can live over 100 years. What do they call them? Centurions now? It's happening more and more all the time. If it should be happening to anybody, it should be happening to Bible believers, children of God. Amen. The Bible says that he became a curse for us, that the blessings of Abraham might come upon us in abundance. And if you be Christ, you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Galatians 3:13, 14, and 29. Guess how long Abraham lived? 175 years. The blessings of Abraham, go for it. Go for it. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't retreat yet. Advance. Hallelujah. Oh, my goodness, you don't realize? John's been sitting here for a year as I've screamed the hair right off his head. Hallelujah. 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 Stand up if you would, please. I love John's head. Amen. Hallelujah. Do you believe the blood of Jesus is stronger than your greatest weaknesses? Hallelujah. One drop of Jesus' blood is stronger than the greatest confrontation, the greatest concentration of evil. Amen? Hallelujah. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And what can make you whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that washes white as snow. No other found I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Say, Father of mercies, I want your plan. Put me in the center of all you're doing in this earth. I want to finish my course your way. Your way. Your way. Yahweh. Your way, not my way. Forgive me. Refresh me. Anoint me. Direct me. In Jesus' name.